Okay, we're at a big week. We're in the middle of a growth sermon series, and today is what we call Commitment Sunday. We have a couple of weeks to go still, but in a little bit in the service, we're going to ask those of you who consider this your church family to bring forward commitments to having or at least praying for one and to make some sacrificial gifts. By way of reminder, if you haven't been here, a one is somebody who isn't walking with Jesus, who is local, who you will rearrange your life to spend time with as a friend, not as a project, hoping to earn their trust and provoke their curiosity so someday you have a chance to help them renew or start to walk with Jesus. And sacrificial gifts are just that. They're gifts over and above what you already returned to the Lord that you're going to give over a three-year period to help us accomplish the projects we feel like God is calling us to. And those projects include renovating Nine Court Square into a church plant incubator. They include creating a refreshed, secured, consolidated children's wing, kind of off that way. You can even see some of the renderings we have set up still. They're going to include refreshing our whole area, catching up on deferred maintenance, creating flow to the courtyard, and we're gonna do all that based on your guys' commitments. And to do all this, we've been doing all kinds of things to try to mobilize you and get your support and get you invested, and those things have included going bowling and eating ice cream with about 400 people, and not all of them were from this church. Some of them were ones even before you knew what a one really was. They included things like vision gatherings where in smaller groups of about 30, I met with people to unpack all of these things. It included mobilizing you to pray because prayer is the greater work. So we had a prayer and worship night this last week, and we've had this booklet that explains everything, and it has a daily prayer guide that we push out again on social media almost daily, and it has these devotions which are really amazing and are based on the sermon series. And talking about the sermon series, we've had sermons on how to grow and why to grow and growing in our discernment and growing in our obedience, and that takes us to today, which is about growing in commitment. We have another couple of weeks after this, but again, today is a pivotal week. But to talk about growing in commitment, turn with me, if you would, to John 21, verses 15 through 19. You can use your Bible, you can use your Pew Bible, you can use a Bible app. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 1076. And as you turn there, I want to set the stage in two different ways. And the first way is I want to say that in this series, I've tried really hard to make a nod, but I want to be very explicit that we don't grow ourselves. A seed just sits in its packet unless it's planted. We don't grow ourselves. God grows us. And we either resist or we cooperate. And honestly, we probably do a little bit of both. But it's impossible for us to grow ourselves. And that came through big time last week when we, in the story of Jesus' interaction with the rich young ruler, he says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for one of us to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's saying it's impossible. But he goes on to say that what's impossible for us is possible for God. God wants to grow us. And I say that particularly today because we're going to ask you for commitments, and I'm not asking you to summon up the willpower on your own to make these commitments. I'm asking you to turn to God and ask Him to grow you. And I'm sure He will in and through your commitments. The second way I want to set the stage is to just kind of give you the context of this passage that we're about to read, because it really helps you see that it's about growing. You see, just a couple of chapters before this, Peter had made this brag that even if everybody else deserted Jesus, he would die for him. And then in a couple hours later, what does Peter do? He denies Jesus three times in a row. And then he saw Jesus crucified. He saw him dead. He saw him buried. He's in despair. And then what we're going to celebrate in just a couple of weeks, a couple of days later, he sees him resurrected. And Jesus had appeared two times already in a resurrected body before Peter and these other disciples, and he had already told them, hey, you are going to be my witnesses. You're going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He had already breathed on them, but he had given this huge mission, but they're still kind of confused because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet, and Jesus is still on earth. He hadn't ascended, and he's kind of coming and going, and they don't know what to do, and then Peter still has this lingering guilt for having denied Jesus three times. And so Peter, full of bright ideas, says, guys, let's go fishing. Let's go back to our old life. Let's take some time till we figure this out. And so they go fishing, and they fish all night, and they catch nothing. And I'm sure they're frustrated, and they're tired, and they're rowing back into the shore when all of a sudden they see somebody on the shore. They don't know it's Jesus yet. But in a way reminiscent of how he had first called them, he shouts out from the shore, hey, put your nets down on the other side. And they put down their nets on the other side, and they catch so many fish, and they suddenly clue in, it's Jesus. And Peter jumps in the water, and he swims to shore, leaving the rest of the disciples to kind of tow the nets in, and they have this huge catch, and Jesus has a fire going, and they have breakfast with Jesus. And our text picks up right there. So John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Listen for God's holy word to you. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord. Don't let the seeming informality of the setting, breakfast on the beach, disguise what's going on here. Jesus is growing Peter. And part of the reason we can tell is he doesn't call him Peter. Peter was just his nickname. He didn't even call him Simon Peter. Instead, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, as I said in the children's sermon, he might have called him Simon, son of John, because he was in trouble. I think that was part of it. But I think it was also just to make it formal, to make it more commitment-oriented. When you're going to do something big, when you're going to sign a contract, when you're going to make a vow, you give your full name. When I baptize somebody, right before I baptize them, I say, what is your full Christian name? And then I repeat that full Christian name, so that they know that it's you, it's really you who are being asked this question, not just this informal part of you, this whole of you are being asked this question. Do you love Jesus more than these? But what are these? What's Jesus gesturing to? What's he pointing to when he says, do you love me more than these? Commentators are actually really divided on this. There's some that say he's pointing to the other disciples. Do you love me more than these other people? Because remember, just a week or two before this, after a dinner together, Peter had bragged, even if all of these desert you, I'll die for you. And then he'd gone on and denied Jesus three times. And so Jesus is maybe chipping away at his pride, going, you can't say that you love me more than these, but can you say that you love me? But maybe these represented fishing. Maybe it represented a way of life. Maybe it represented the comfort and familiarity and security of how life had been before Jesus. Maybe that's what these represented. Maybe he was pointing at all of that. I mean, Peter had already been given a global mission because Jesus had appeared two other times, had already said all this, and yet here he is going back to fishing. But whether or not it's people or things or a way of life or comfort or security, it's a great question. Do you love Jesus more than these? And it'd be a really bad idea to answer, yes, of course, I love you more than these other people, because you know what? You have no clue how much these other people love Jesus. You actually don't know how much you love Jesus when push comes to shove. What I know of my own love for Jesus is that it is fallible, it's inconsistent, it's weak, sometimes it's amazing, sometimes it's in the pits of despair. I can't brag about loving Jesus more than people. And if it's more than other things, I can't brag that way either, because sometimes my life, I do like security more than Jesus. Sometimes I like comfort more than Jesus. Sometimes I just like normalcy more than Jesus. But when I get asked the question, do you love me more than these? I know what I want the answer to be. And I know what the answer is. And so the question grows us. And you can see it grows Peter, because how does Peter answer the question? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Now, I think maybe just a couple of weeks before this, if Jesus had asked Peter this question, do you love me, you know what Peter would have said? Of course I do. I love you more than anything. I love you more than anyone. I love you best. I should be at your right hand. But that's not what he says now. He's been humbled. He says, yes, Lord. Jesus calls him Simon, son of Peter. And he doesn't call him Jesus, he calls him Lord. And he throws himself on Jesus' sovereignty, on Jesus' knowledge, because he doesn't say, I know how much I love you. He says, you know how much I love you. You, Jesus, you know the extent of my love. You know how weak it is. You know how fallible it is. But you know I'm trying. You know I want to love you more. I want to love you better. And that's amazing, because that's enough for Jesus. It seems like a mustard seed of faith can move a mountain. Well, a weak and fallible love for Jesus can get you entrusted with something pretty amazing. Because what does Jesus say to him? Feed my lambs. This is huge. Jesus loves children. Right? We know that. We heard that last week in the children's sermon when Miss Vanessa gave the children's sermon and she talked about how Jesus got indignant when people tried to keep children away from him. He said, we need to be like children. And he welcomed children and he put them in his lap and he blessed them and said, the kingdom is like them. Jesus in another spot warns, he says, it'd be better for you to be drowned in the sea with a millstone around your neck than to mislead one of these children. And yet here's Peter who had denied him just a few days before this, and what does he say to him? Feed my lambs. Jesus entrusts those things which he is most precious, most concerned about, most values to Peter. And he does the same thing to you and I. This is why we're prioritizing children and family ministry. Because we sense that Jesus is saying to us, these are yours. Not because you're so good, not because I need you, but because I want to grow you. And just think about how amazing that is. Many of you in here are parents, and you do not entrust your kids to just anyone, do you? There's a reason we do background checks on everybody who volunteers with kids in this church. There's a reason we have a too deep policy. There's a reason, because we think children are precious, and yet Jesus entrusts children to us. And even if you're not you're a biological parent, if you're an adoptive parent, you've been entrusted with those children. But even if you're not, you've been entrusted with children in a spiritual sense. Not because you're so great, but because Jesus wants to grow you. So he gives you what's precious to him. But there's more. Because Jesus asked the question a second time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time it's just that straight up question. It doesn't come with the more than these, but the repetition is good because it helps us to second guess. And sometimes we need to second guess. Sometimes we need to step back and go, do I really love him? I thought so. Repetition is really helpful. Repetition is really growing. If I repeat something, I grow in my knowledge of it. And so the question is growing us. And apparently it's working for Peter, who had every reason to second guess his love because he had walked out on Jesus. He had denied him. He had not gone into the mission, but had gone back to what he's supposed to. And Peter is getting the point. He's growing, because how does Peter answer the question? Well, he answers it just like he did last time. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And again, he's making it about what Jesus knows, not about himself. And he's asking Jesus to grow him in this answer, and we should probably do the same thing, but look what Jesus does next. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. In some translations it says, shepherd my sheep. And that's pretty amazing, right? Because who is Jesus? He's the good shepherd. He's the one who lays down his life for his sheep. He cares about his sheep, and yet he entrusts them to us, to you, and to me. And do pay attention that they are his sheep. They're not mine. They're not the church's. They're Jesus' sheep. And Jesus has all kinds of sheep. People, sheep of every nation, people, tribe, and tongue. He's got sheep who are inside the fold, and he has sheep who have wandered from the fold, and he has sheep who are not yet in the fold, and this is Jesus' call. Shepherd them. And part of shepherding them means get them in the fold, and this is why we're asking you to have a one. Not just care for each other, your fellow sheep, care for the lost sheep. Help them come back in to the kingdom. Help them come back in to the church. This is also why we want to prioritize church planting, because it's a way to reach lost sheep. But again, there's more. Because Jesus says to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this one hurts. But I think it was actually supposed to hurt. I think it was supposed to hurt kind of like surgery is supposed to hurt, because Jesus is cutting away pride and he's cutting away shame so that Peter can grow. He wants Peter to not sit there and think that his last words about Jesus were, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. But instead, he wants him to go, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Proverbs tells us that the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. Jesus wounds him here to build him, to grow him. And then what does he tell him? Feed my sheep. It's just a variation on everything we've heard before, but I do notice this variation that he's feeding them. It means you're teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded. You're discipling them. It's the Great Commission all over. And again, the same call is to you and to me. When you love Jesus, he calls you to this work. Peter has thrown himself on Jesus' omniscience, and Jesus has called him. Will you do the same? Because here is what comes next. He doesn't just say, feed my sheep. He says, in a kind of fancy way, Peter, you're going to die. And it's not going to be fun. But follow me. Jesus is growing Peter so that one day he will follow you. He won't deny Jesus. Instead, he'll ask to be crucified upside down. But Jesus is very blessedly saying, follow me, not just into mission, not just into death, because Jesus had both mission and death, but what was on the other side? Resurrection. Follow me into mission, through death, into resurrected eternal life. And that's the invitation. That's what Jesus wants to grow you to. So friends, do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? He knows the answer. If you're honest, again, I'm not asking you to summon up the willpower. You know you love him. You know you want to love him more. Will you let him? Will you commit to the mission? Will you commit to dying? You don't have a lot of choice, but you do on a day in and day out basis. Can you die to yourself today? Will you follow him on into resurrection? I hope you will. I hope you'll find a way to make that commitment on a day in and day out basis. I hope you'll go running to Jesus over and over again. But if you're part of this church family today, we want to invite you to make that commitment in a very specific way. If you're not part of this church family, I hope you'll find your own ways to do this, and I hope you'll bear with us for just a moment. But if you're part of this church family, we want to invite you to commit by having a one. And we want you to commit to sacrificial giving. And in just a minute, we're going to ask you to bring those commitments forward and put them in this basket. And I do need to say that some of you are type A people. Some of you have already filled out your commitment. You've already decided what you're going to do. And that's great. But we're going to still take some time, and I want you to pray over that commitment before you bring it forward. And some of you are kind of like Peter, and you're very surprised to find Jesus on the beach this morning. And you're just cluing in that we're asking you to make commitments, and that's okay too. You can still do it. You commit to having a one. And maybe you're like, I've been asking God for a one. I don't know who my one is yet. That's okay. Commit to praying. And you have these cards in your pews. And you're going to take them out, or you've been handed them as you came in. And you'll see a spot to list your one. Just their first name. And if you don't know who your one is yet, but you're really committed, I'm so convinced that God will give you one, just write the word praying down. If you don't know who your one is, you can do that. And then write down your total gift over the next 3 years. And then how you're going to give it. And put your name and do all that. And if you're filling it out or you're refilling it out, when Shannon's playing music here in a minute, go ahead and just pray about that. And talk to your spouse about it. I'm amazed at how often God speaks through my wife to me. So it's okay to talk to the person around you as Shannon's playing about, hey, what should we do? And if you're parents, do this with your kids. Man, what a great thing for your kids to learn and see about commitment by talking about it with you. And then fill out those cards. And then when Shannon transitions in music, when you're ready, from wherever you are in the sanctuary, balcony, overflow, left, right, center, when you're ready, as we transition music, we want you to bring forward that card. And we want you to put it in the central basket. And then, for each and every one that you either have already named or are praying for, because again, we're so confident God will give you one if you're praying, we want you to move a block of wood from the sides into the center basket as well. And those are all going to get put together, and we're going to have them and put them up in front of everybody on Easter. We're going to announce the total number of ones. It's going to become a permanent piece. If you're online and you submit your commitment cards over the next 2 weeks, we'll gather, we're going to count those. We're going to have the same number of blocks of wood as there are people who are identified or being prayed for. And we're going to put that together. But that's the way it's going to work. Cool? Some of you remember. You nod and smile. Let me pray for you. Lord, we've heard the question. And we want to answer. We want to be grown in our love for you. Lord, tell us how to do that. Tell us that in terms of ones. Tell us that in terms of dollars. And then, Lord, may you do things that advance your mission, that lead us through death and on into resurrection. Do more, exceedingly, abundantly more than all we can ask or even imagine. For we ask it in your name. Amen.